Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. Today, we visit a small town in a very historic region of Northeast Georgia, and we visit with a local leader who broke through barriers as she represented her community at the local level, the state level, and then back home again. We're going to go talk with County Commission Chairwoman Sisti Hudson in the small town of Sparta, Georgia. Come go with me.
Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. Soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia.
Small Town Podcast is sponsored by the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. Our nation is going through an incredible transition right now. There's a mass migration to small towns and rural communities. People are seeking out vibrant communities with great entertainment, recreational opportunities, low cost of living, and strong local economies. If that sounds like something you would like to find, then I invite you to discover the City of Douglas and Coffee County, Georgia. Visit CoffeeGAChamber.com to find out why the Douglas Coffee County community is a great place to visit and an even better place to call home. All right. Usually I'm at a city hall or at least a city building. This time I'm in a county building. I'm in the Hancock County Courthouse. We're actually going to talk about it. Looks very old, but turns out it's not so much. And I'm sitting with the former mayor but current County Commission Chair of Hancock County, Chairman Sisti Hudson. So, Chairman Hudson, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Well, thank you for coming to Sparta.
I was going to say, I should have said that. I said Hancock County, but I forgot to say the name of the small town since it's a small town podcast. But hopefully Dave Wills and everyone at ACCG will appreciate that I'm talking to a county commissioner.
Absolutely.
Before we even, because we're going to talk about you, like I told you, I'd really be interested in kind of getting a little bit of the story of this building we're in. Because I walk in and it looks like, as you drive up to it, it looks like an old, you know, 1800s courthouse. And I walk in and you said, what do you think? And I said, well, it's beautiful. He said, well, it burned in 14, and you didn't mean 1914.
I meant 2014.
So tell us a little bit about what happened and what you've done since then, because that was only 7 years ago.
That's right. The courthouse burned in the wee hours of August 11th, 2014. It was a complete loss. The only thing that we saved was the brick walls.
Yeah.
And the brick interior walls are brick as well. But anyway, saving the brick saved us about $1 million. But
no small amount in a small town.
We were so proud that we could put it back, because I can't imagine the approach to Sparta without this building. It probably has the prettiest approach of any.
It's been a while since I've been through, mm-hmm. and as I was riding on Traditions Highway, Highway mm-hmm. 15, mm-hmm. drove right in, mm-hmm. and yeah, that was just great. You can see it.
It's an amazing approach for a courthouse, and it's been the public spot since 1795.
Wow.
Major Abercrombie laid out Sparta, and he designated this as the public spot along with the square across the street, Memorial Square, and it's been designated since 1795.
So what was the process of rebuilding? Because obviously there's a rebuilding story since we're sitting in the courthouse.
Well, of course, you got to go through the process with the insurance adjusters. The insurance adjuster came the next day. We had nothing. I had no desk, no records, no nothing, you know. So she brought me the page.
Because you were the chair at the time.
I was the chair. Yeah. And she brought me the page out of our insurance book, which I no longer had, you know. And of course, it had a picture of the courthouse and, you know, and that it was replacement coverage. She said, "Sister, you're going to be okay. you're going to be okay." And some little voice in my head told me, "You need to ask her about the clock tower." So I did. I said, "Okay, what about that? You know, because that's pretty remarkable about this building." And she said, "Well, you know, that might be an embellishment." And I said, "Mm-mm." I said, "No, that makes this courthouse. So let's talk about keeping that clock tower." And we did, and it's pretty amazing. Of course, we don't have a wooden clock tower like we did, but we have a powder-coated aluminum clock tower. We have electronic chimes.
Mm-hmm. So not quite the old-school version you had, but a good replica. It still represents what it was.
But it actually looks exactly like the old clock tower. Now, a wooden clock tower would have been $1 million.
Well, you saved that with the brick, so you should have
been able
to cover it.
But the powder-coated aluminum clock tower cost about $400,000.
How long did it take before you were able to have what I assume was a very celebratory grand opening?
Exactly 2 years to the day.
Wow, okay. That's actually impressive.
I aimed for the same date two years later. And, you know, it's amazing how things slow up and then they speed up.
Sure.
But it seemed like what took the longest was the cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
Places we had probably 20 feet of ash in this building, you know, and it took 4 or 5 months to get the ash out, starting in January of 15. Mm-hmm. Then it seemed like the project stopped. And I thought, okay, what's going on here, you know. And so I'd asked the architects, I said, "Ben, Joe, what's the deal here? We got the ash out, so what's the deal here?"
Let's get going.
He always responded by saying, "It's custom steel, sister. It's custom steel." I said, "Okay, whatever that means, you know." So 2 months later, here comes the custom steel. It's fascinating to watch that process because the custom steel, the plans for the steel alone were 100 pages long.
Mm.
But keep in mind that all the interior walls were brick as well.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that custom steel had to fit down in this building like Tinker Toys.
Wow.
So, it arrived in June. We got through with that process about midsummer. And then it picked up a little bit but what you see now is non-combustible.
Yeah. For a reason.
Yes, it is custom steel,
and
it's a lot of concrete, you know. And then you got the pretty little skin on it.
Right, just on the top.
Just layer. On the top, you know.
Well, it is a beautiful building. It is a beautiful approach as you came down Traditions Highway to get here.
Beautiful.
So revitalized the public spot, as you
the
called it.
The public spot.
Well, let's talk about the public official that holds the seat inside the courthouse now. Let's get to your story, and I'll start with my same question I always start off with. Were you born in Sparta, Georgia?
I was not born, but I was raised.
Yeah, yeah. Where were you born?
I was born in Augusta, Georgia when my daddy was in med school.
Okay.
When he finished his internship, which included going back into service, he was looking for a place to be, you know. He was from Morgan County. Mama was from Oglethorpe County. He was just reaching out to see where he could settle in Georgia, and Dr. Tanner at the time was looking for a partner.
Okay.
So we came to Sparta when I was 2.
So this is where you were raised.
This is where I was
raised. Probably don't remember
raised.
Too much before this.
That's right.
So
this is where I was raised.
What was life like growing up in Sparta?
I don't even know a word to describe it. It was absolutely wonderful. I mean, the people here are just wonderful, you know. I remember that from a tiny child, you know, black and white, everything. I mean, this is the most welcoming community. I can't imagine living anywhere else. And I'm 70, by the way.
I wasn't going to ask, but okay, since you volunteered. Well, what did you do? Was it Hancock County High School, I assume, that you or is mm-hmm. it different now? So mm-hmm. some consolidation is mm-hmm. taking place. Some people said, no, I went to this high school.
Sparta High School.
Sparta High, okay.
And then I graduated from John Hancock Academy.
Okay.
That was in 1968.
And what did you do after you graduated high school?
Where'd after I graduated high school, went to college at Georgia College, State University in Milledgeville.
That's not too far away.
That's right. I kind of do have a story to tell there.
Well, feel free.
My dad, of course, was a family doctor mm-hmm. here, and yep. he planned for me to be a family doctor as well.
Okay.
So I took all of those courses.
Pre-med courses.
Yeah, took the MCAT, took the whole nine yards, and the day I walked off that stage in Georgia College, I said, Daddy, I'm not going to do it.
What did you end up getting a degree in? Was it like a pre-med degree?
It was a double major, chemistry and biology.
Okay.
And I've never seen him panic like that. he said, no, you can't do this. You just cannot do this. He said, I had it all planned out. You going to work during the week? I was going to work on the weekends. I said, no, I'd be just like you, and I want to have a family.
Did you already have a plan in mind, or did you just know that you weren't going to?
I just
okay.
knew.
You just knew it wasn't going to be
that.
I just
knew I couldn't work 24 hours a day like he did.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, what did you end up doing after you decided what you weren't going to do?
My first part of my career was with Department of Family and Children's Services. I did social services.
Okay.
It was a pretty good job at the time, you know. And I did that until 1978, and I had this interest then when I was 28 years old to start a home health agency.
Okay.
A nonprofit home health agency. So that's what I did. It had a 50-mile radius. Loved that. I absolutely loved that career. And actually, that career combined with being mayor at the same time.
Man,
you couldn't ask for any better. You know, you could help them at home. You could help them at City Hall, you know, and it was...
Was it related as far as that's how you got into local government, or what do you mean?
Actually, I got into elected office on a zoning decision.
Okay, related to your business?
It was related to my business. I'm sorry.
Well, tell us that, because I was going to ask at some point how you got involved in public service.
I started the agency, but I rented this little block building, you know, needed to make some improvements.
Here in Sparta?
Yeah, here in Sparta, about where the Dollar General sits now.
Okay.
And I said, well, I need to spend a little money, but I don't want to spend a little money on somebody else's building.
Right.
But anyway, went through the zoning process, did everything exactly like the zoning book said, but it went through planning and zoning, passed planning and zoning, went to mayor and council, and that night they told me, Sister, we're not going to rezone your property. We're going to have a gentleman's agreement that you can stay there.
A gentleman's agreement just allowing you to, but not making the change official on
and
the books?
I said, I'm sorry, boys, that doesn't work for me. That does not work for me. I said, I will meet you at the polls.
So you decided after that decision, that's how you got... Did you ever have any thoughts before about running for council or mayor?
Actually, my father had been city council, mayor, county commissioner, you know, but
so there's a little family heritage going on there.
Having been around him and all of that, you know, between politics and his family medicine, you know, you didn't see him too much,
right?
You know.
Well, you said that was the reason you did not want to follow him into being a doctor.
That's right.
But you did end up following him into politics.
Yeah, I ran in 82. No woman had ever been elected.
Now, did you run? You said for council or for mayor?
For council.
Okay. All right. How many council seats are there in
Sparta?
There are
four.
And are they districts or at large?
They're plurality election.
Okay.
So the top two vote getters win.
Okay, so they're staggered terms, so two people are up every other year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but all at large.
So we had several folks in the race that year, you know. And
how many people ran for two seats?
I beat three men.
That's the important part.
I'm trying to remember. I'm not sure. But anyway, I won by 15 votes.
Okay.
I beat the mayor that ended up being mayor for 27 years. I beat him.
Well, he was running for council or later?
Yeah, he ran for council first. Okay. I beat him.
Okay. But then he came back after that to become the mayor.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That was a sweet win, though.
15
votes. But I need to tell you just one little story about that, because I was the first woman. It just was not hitting too well with the community. You know, like, what does that woman want to do getting involved in City Hall? Why does she want to do that? I was seeing that a lot on the campaign trail, and so then I went down to the drugstore one day, and I said, Fred, I'm getting this strange reaction from folks. I said, would you just do a little poll for me, you know, for the next couple of weeks? And he said, sure. I said, ask them what they think about a woman getting elected. And I went back 2 weeks later, and Fred just was shaking his head. And he said, you really don't need to do this. He said, they'd rather vote for a dog than a woman.
Oh, goodness.
I said, that makes me work harder. I will work harder to get elected. Well, and I did.
Either people weren't answering honestly on the poll, or they changed their minds before they got to the ballot.
Just made me work harder. You hadn't heard the best part.
Well, keep going then.
You haven't heard the best part. My husband didn't want me to run either. So he'd go down to the local coffee shop in the morning and say, don't vote for my wife. I don't want her to
do
that.
So he was campaigning against you.
Against me, yes. But we won by 15 votes.
Did you suggest to him that maybe he wasn't very well liked if he couldn't keep you from getting elected since you won?
And funny thing, we made a lot of... I wasn't allowed to sit at the table when I was elected.
At the what table? The council table?
The council table, that's right. You know, woman, she's not supposed to be in here.
You're dealing with some stuff and breaking some barriers,
she's not
supposed
to be in here, so I had occupied one corner. And while I was in that corner, I did personnel policies and balanced the budget, which had never happened before.
Right, right. You actually took care of the business.
I actually took care of the business. And when I had got all that completed, I'd watch them at meetings, you know, and then I said, well, I have something I want to present. So I presented it, and the tide turned that night. Well, you did this? You sure you did this? I said, yes, I did
this.
Yeah,
just over here in the corner doing the work.
So from that point forward, I always did the budget. I always did this, always did that, you know, and was glad to do it. But talking about the husband thing, then 4 years later, I decided to run for mayor. And I waited till like 11:30 one night to say, you know, Robert, I think I'm going to run for mayor. Why do you wait till 11:30 to tell me stuff like that? And I said, well, you know, I didn't think it would do a whole lot of good to tell you earlier, you know.
I didn't want to ruin dinner.
Try to catch you, you know, before you go to sleep, you know. He said, well, you're going to do what you want to do anyway, so just go ahead. And actually, he was against that, too.
Did he go out and campaign for you again, which assured your victory?
He was against that effort, too, until one Saturday afternoon. And we were going down the street in what we call Blue Bottom, you know. He said, I'll take you down there. And of course, the van was falling slow behind me, you know. And I thought, well, this is interesting. He is helping, you know. This is interesting. So I was hitting the houses on the right. I looked out the side of my eye and I said, dang, he's campaigning. He's hitting the houses on the left.
He got on board.
I said, great. And I said, thank you, Robert. Thank you. Thank you. You know, and he said, I'm ready to get home. It's hot out here. So I've had some interesting experiences.
Reluctant support, but support
eventually.
Reluctant
support, but it worked, yes. And then when I got home, I had my youngest was 6. He had a little handwritten note on the door because he was at my mother's, and he said, wow, my mom is mayor.
So 4 years on council. How long did you serve as mayor? Because I know there's more positions to go to.
I was mayor for 6 years.
Okay, 6 years.
I resigned to run for
the
House.
I was going to say, 6 years means there's a midterm decision there.
Well, you know, in 1990, we had these strange terms, too.
That was when the people were transitioning from 2 years to 4 years, and it staggered them weird.
We had strange terms. Yeah. But anyway, my daddy had a stroke. He was actually serving in the House of Representatives. He had a stroke, and I thought, well... I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof, you know. I thought I could run for the House and Daddy's place. Well, I came up 300 votes short.
So you resigned as mayor to run for House.
I resigned as mayor.
But did not win the seat.
I did not win the seat.
Okay.
But 2 years later, I did run for county commissioner, District 2.
Okay.
And I won.
So why, just out of curiosity, because you've now done city government and county government. Did you not think about just going back for either council or mayor in Sparta, or just the position opened up, just kind of opportunity-wise, the county position was?
Interestingly enough, after that 10 years I was with the city, my husband kept saying, please, our house is Grand Central Station. Can we please just move to the country? Just buy me a little farm. So I did. I bought a little farm. And
then you weren't in Sparta anymore.
And weren't in Sparta anymore. And we've been in Culverton ever since, 1996.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that was your option then, county commission.
Yeah, so I ran for county commission.
And that was one of the district seats, not the chair at that time.
It was when the districts went in, and it was a two-year term.
Okay.
So the two-year term was up, you know, and then an open house seat opened up. Mm-hmm. Brand new. And so I said, well, that looks interesting. So I'll do that. You know, I'll run for the House. So I had already qualified for re-election to county commission. Mm-hmm. I said, well, heck, I hate to give it up. I really do, you know, but I know what I got to do. So I signed up my husband
to run for
my seat.
In county commission?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I ran for the House and won.
Okay.
I won by 199 votes that time.
And I know the audience listening to this wants to know, what? How did your husband do in that election?
He actually didn't campaign, not at all.
Yeah?
He bought one ad in the paper, and he lost by 88 votes.
Oh, goodness. So politics really wasn't in his blood.
It was not his thing.
Doesn't carry over.
It was not his thing at all.
Well, how long? I think you told me earlier, but we weren't recording. How long did you spend in the House?
16 years.
16 years. Mm-hmm. Why the move to go? Because, I mean, some people just want to kind of look, there's something new to do. You feel like you can be more effective in a certain category, a certain initiative, that kind of thing?
I actually thought I would be more effective at home.
More effective as a state representative?
No. I knew I did that part.
Well, no, that's why I'm asking why you decided to run for a state rep.
Oh, well, I guess that did kind of follow in daddy's footsteps. You know? The only person that they know of in Atlanta that was, if I had been elected, I would be a fourth-generation House member.
Wow.
Fourth generation. All the way back to 1878.
So it was a family legacy.
It was sort of a family thing.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we all sat, except for the first one. The first one actually was not, the Capitol wasn't built when he was there. But the other three of us have sat at the same desk. Desk number 146.
Oh, that's neat. So you did that for 16 years, and you just already alluded to it, that you then decided not to run for re-election there because you wanted to come
about 60 years old, you know, and I thought, well, you know, maybe I need to go home, you know, and see what I can do for just one county instead of six. I represented six counties.
Bigger district.
And loved every minute of it.
You talked about trying to prioritize stuff.
We were setting up. It was kind of hard to prioritize things for six counties, you know. But, yeah, Terry worked really good with me.
Terry Coleman that I worked with.
Yes, he did. He worked really good with me.
So you decided to come home. Did you not run that time and immediately run for a local office here? Or did you take a year or two off?
You know, I didn't have to resign my seat because I just didn't seek re-election
to
the House.
As long as it finishes out about the same time the next one picks
up.
So you have to resign.
So I qualified and ran for chairman.
Okay.
And I beat the current chairman and another commissioner.
Okay. So what year was that, just to give us timeline-wise? You've been the
2012,
chair. Okay.
And then I took office in 2013.
Okay. And then the courthouse burned down in
2014.
So right after that.
Yes, it did.
And you've been the chair ever since.
And I've been reelected for the third time.
Okay. All right. Well, through all of that, because I knew there was a nice timeline of different things going on. That's four different things. Mm-hmm. Well, really five, because you got council, mayor, district commissioner, state rep, and then chair of the county commission. Mm-hmm. So I won't ask you what your favorite was. I just know they're all different. What kinds of things were you hoping to accomplish? Because obviously there's the family lineage you've described, which kind of gave you the motivation to do some of it. But I know there's things you wanted to do specific to your community. I know that because you just said after 16 years, you said, you know what, it's time to actually go back home and focus just on Sparta and Hancock County.
Yeah, you're getting older. You want to just focus all your efforts on the county that you love, you know. So that's what I came home to do. Didn't know I'd be rebuilding the courthouse. But we've gotten a pretty good bit done since I've been back. We rebuilt the courthouse. We refurbished the health department. We are applying for grants now for a new gym for the kids. Mm-hmm. They have to play all of their games out of town because they don't have a gym. We've done some nice things. We spent about $1.5 million a year on the roads. We have blessed to have Teese Bloss.
Yep.
We would not be able to do what we do without it.
And I should say, for anybody that's listening that doesn't know, that's the Transportation Special Projects
that's
Local
exactly
Option
right.
Sales Tax. That's a mouthful, but I had to say it all for anybody.
That's right.
So sales tax that goes
sales
just
tax
towards
in,
the roads.
And Hancock County would be about $400,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Not much.
Right.
You know, but with that penny.
Yeah.
We get about $1 million between.
Now, there's two different ways to do T-SPLOST. Are you a single county
T-SPLOST? We're regional.
Okay, so you're doing. We're one of the regions. There's only,
regional.
I think, four.
We're regional, and it has already been reapproved for the next.
Good.
Starting next year.
The communities that have
the amount of work
that,
we've been able
to
do is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, we leverage T-SPLOST with LMIG.
The Local Maintenance and Improvement Grant we
thank
get every
you.
Year from the
thank
Department
you.
Of Transportation.
So we do about $1.5 million, and we have 250 miles of dirt,
mm-hmm.
250 miles of pave.
Mm-hmm.
So we have quite a bit of road work to
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
I'm proud of the work we've done. Got a good board.
What are some things, whether it's something, I'll leave it open-ended because mm-hmm. you've got such a long career as far
yeah.
in so many different aspects.
Oh, Lord.
What, no, I'm just going to ask just kind of in general. I mean, what have you seen as far as maybe the challenges that have changed, new challenges that maybe are here now that weren't the same, you know, magnitude, you know, when you first got into local government?
I'm not sure.
Or maybe things have gotten so much better, they're not challenges anymore. I'm afraid we seem to get new challenges and the old ones stay there.
There seems to be a lot more paperwork now.
The administration part
the
is.
The administration part yeah. is a lot tougher, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, God I bless
mean,
all of our clerks.
Any city and county government will tell you that. I mean, the paperwork's gotten more and more and more and more, you know. But,
right, the requirements to do things. And
yeah,
the,
yeah, we were able to do quite a bit from city on. You know, mm-hmm. we recruited a state prison. Nobody in Georgia had ever wanted a prison.
Yeah.
Never. You know, we needed jobs.
So when you want one, there might be a little easier to get
it,
because...
It was really odd.
You're not competing with a whole lot of communities
Actually, we asked for the one that Hart County turned down.
Oh, okay. So the state was looking for a place to put one. You
well,
said,
actually, they,
put it right
they, had
here.
A, they had a tough time putting them in places.
Mm-hmm.
They had a really tough time. It was kind of like a landfill. Nobody wanted a prison, you
mm-hmm.
know. We heard about Hart County. This was when my daddy was in the General Assembly. And he called us and told us, you know, Hart County turned down a prison. What about a prison?
Yeah.
So about 18 of us got in a bus and went to Atlanta and sat around a table much like this one.
Uh-huh.
We asked the commissioner for the prison. And he kind of looked at us funny, like, you know, this crowd just come here to protest or something.
Right,
you know?
Right.
He said, are you serious? You want a prison? But Daddy was able to fast track that prison, and we actually were the first county in the state to ask for
it. And how many jobs did that create?
For local jobs, over 300.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure people in a big city are looking, 300 jobs, we call that Tuesday. But in a rural community,
it's a big deal.
300 jobs is huge.
And
that's
jobs
what we go for.
To us that mm-hmm. won't close.
Right, right. It's there's more stability there.
There's a lot of stability right. with the state job.
And state jobs do provide pretty good mm-hmm. benefits.
Yeah.
Sometimes people say, well, you make more money in the private sector. Yeah, but the stability and the benefits may be
and
actually
this was,
better.
This was when I was mayor that we brought the prison here.
Mm-hmm.
But we brought the prison here, but really didn't think about all the things that would be required, you know, from the city.
Like what?
Like utilities.
Okay. Well, yeah, that'd be a big utilities customer. So you had to make some infrastructure enhancements to
so,
provide for that?
So we decided to go ask EDA for some money to do extension of the mm-hmm. utilities. Because the prison was a little ways out.
Yeah.
You know, we made arrangements for Kimberly Clark at the time to give them the property.
Mm-hmm.
We really didn't know what it would cost. We had an estimate, you know. But we applied for EDA, and I remember that man in Atlanta. I went with my engineer, and that man in Atlanta, he was so dry. You know, he just, ma'am, that is not an industry. That is not an industry. I said, it is to us.
It creates jobs. It's
it
an industry.
It is
yeah,
to us. And then in a very dry voice, he said, well, just apply then, and we'll see.
Can I assume from the story that you got it?
We did get it. And bless his heart, Sam Nunn
okay.
was our senator.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. He actually used to call you 48 hours ahead of time if you were going to be awarded anything.
Okay. Give the
so
heads
he
up.
Called us 48 hours ahead of time, and he said, you got it.
Good.
This is the only money I've ever gotten, though, because then the plans had to be really drawn. You know, everything had to be really planned out. Then we rehabbed everything in the city. I mean, we raised the sewer manholes.
We rehabbed
all the sewer. You know, we rehabbed all the water. We rehabbed all the elevated storage tanks. You know, we spent every dime we could spend on water and sewer. Mm-hmm. We couldn't spend it all. So we had to send $300,000 back.
Well, that's a good problem to have.
It's a good problem.
I mean,
I wish
for you we could have found a way here.
That
to
was
keep
in
it,
19, what, 89, 90, you know, but yeah, it was a very good problem to
yeah,
have.
Yeah. Well, you got to do every improvement you could find.
Mm-hmm. We did everything we could do.
Well, that's good. That's good. I can't help but just kind of, I guess, go back a little bit. You described your getting into politics and some of the treatment you got in the beginning. So you were kind of breaking through some barriers and having to deal with some not so nice. You didn't get welcomed with open arms, it sounds like, as a woman.
I did not get welcomed with open arms. Not even the local newspaper.
What happened with the local newspaper?
The local newspaper he wrote in an old style. You know, Mr. Moore was very old at the time, you know, and he always talked about the city fathers did this, city fathers did that. Well, you know, I kind of ruined that.
Yeah, now there was a city mother.
Yeah. It just made things really bad for him, you know. The Macon Telegraph, you know, I guess they thought kind of along the same lines. You know, they had giant headlines in the paper the next day. First woman in 177 years elected to city council.
That made sure they made a headline out of that.
Yeah, well, it was huge headlines.
It was worth shouting about, mm-hmm, I'd say, if it had mm-hmm been that long, certainly. Mm-hmm. I hope, and I hope I asked this, that things got better, and obviously you're joined in local government and state government mm-hmm at the city and the county level by so many more women now than in 1982 when you first started. So I guess, do you see progress there? And I guess I'll open it up like this. Is what more needs to be done, or what can we do to make sure that people aren't getting that same kind of treatment today? Because that's something we want to make sure.
I think this community is more accepting of women now. They are. They really are.
Well, and I'd say you probably had an influence on that.
Yeah, I think I did.
It didn't sound like they did, you know. Yeah. With the poll you said was being taken at the pharmacy.
Well, even when I went to Atlanta, when I was elected to the House, you know, I think we were 22 women and mm-hmm combined from the Senate and the House, and now I think it's 40 some odd, mm-hmm, you know. So that's an improvement, about accepting women. Now, my husband, bless his heart, I think he was interviewed by the Milledgeville newspaper once. And, you know, I always had that problem with him campaigning against me until that last Saturday
afternoon.
That's
right. He took care of one side of the street for you.
Yeah. He actually started campaigning for me because he wanted to go home. But he was interviewed, and I was delighted to see that he said, "I've always been proud of her because she can do the work of 10 men." That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
All right, we've talked about your career mm-hmm and some things that you were essentially a trailblazer on. I want to talk, you know, more about Sparta and mm-hmm why you love it so much, but I want to there's one segment that I've really enjoyed. It's called the Get to Know You questions. I want to ask you four questions to help people in the audience get to know you better.
Okay.
The first one is, do you now have or have you ever had a nickname?
Sisty. You want to hear the story on Sisty?
Yes, I do. Well, I kind of thought that was a...
Well, my real name, uh-huh, I get my name on my birth certificate, is Helen Claudia Green.
Okay.
Okay. I was named for my mother, named for my aunt, Claudia. I have never been called that in my entire life. Ever.
You got Sisty from day one.
Yes. I was born on December the 22nd. They brought me home on Christmas Day. And my brother, who was 6 years old, said, "Boy, I was really lucky this year. I got a red bicycle and a baby sister." Never been called anything else.
So your six-year-old brother, on day three of your life.
Day three of my life.
Called you Sisty, mm-hmm, and that was it.
My third grade teacher refused.
To call you Sisty?
Yep. She called me Helen.
She insisted on calling you Helen.
And I had one professor in biology that called me Helen. But other than that.
Well, I was just going to ask, because now in school, of course, they call the roll, and if they don't know you, but in a small town, they probably all knew you and already knew your name was Sisty before mm-hmm you even walk in mm-hmm the classroom.
So, you know, you might want to ask, too, well, how do you run with a nickname? You know, how do you run with... You put the whole thing. You put Helen G. Sisty Hudson. so they know who you are.
You
got to
make sure
back.
That's on there. Yeah. So you qualified all the time as
Sissy Hudson, with the whole
just with the quotes.
Thing.
Okay.
Yes.
Because they didn't know who Helen was.
They did not know.
Except for your third grade teacher and which college class?
Biology professor.
Mm-hmm. All right. I figured that was a nickname. That was a story. Okay. So it was good to get it. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to call you Helen.
Okay.
All right. Next question. What would be your go-to karaoke song?
I've never done karaoke.
Oh, I can't wait to see it for the first time. So what song are we queuing up when we go?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know.
All those 16 years in Atlanta, and you never ended up at a karaoke bar?
I never ended up at a karaoke bar.
So if you had to do it for the honor of Sparta and Hancock County, what song would you want to cue up? You got the words right there. You don't even have to worry about that. And the music's playing. You get a microphone in your hand.
Georgia.
What now?
The Georgia. The one from Albany that sang.
Oh, Georgia on My Mind.
Georgia on My Mind.
All right. That's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
Good pick. All right, Georgia on My Mind. All right, next question. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
Oh, wow. Lasagna.
All right, lasagna. I went too hard. You made it sound like that was going to be difficult. You came up with it quick. All right, final question. If you could attend any concert, any singer, duo, band, any kind of performer, whether they are now dead or alive, whose concert would you want to attend?
Well, I guess they are dead. Temptations.
Okay. The Temptations.
Yeah.
All right. Sissy Hudson, not Helen.
That's
thanks for
right.
letting us get to know
That's
you.
That's right.
If you drive around Sparta, it would not take you long to see the treasure trove of historic buildings in the community. Many small towns, as well as bigger cities, are making efforts to preserve their historic structures and maintain a unique character in their communities for residents and visitors alike to enjoy. Sparta has recently increased its efforts in historic preservation, and I got to talk with someone involved in the preserving and restoring of Sparta's historic resources. He's got kind of a unique name, so I'll let him introduce himself.
Dip Pilati.
And Dip, I imagine that Dip is not the name that your mom and dad gave you at birth?
No, I was named after my grandfather, who was Griffith Bothwell Lampkin, and so my name is Griffith Lampkin Pilati.
Okay.
I got his nickname also, and his nickname was Dip because one of the maids couldn't say Griffith. It came out Dippeth, and they shortened it to Dip. And so that's it.
Okay. So you inherited his given name and also his nickname.
Yep.
All right. And it was because someone couldn't pronounce Griffith.
Yeah.
Okay. There's always a good nickname story. That's why
it was cute. When he was born in 1889. It was cute Victorian times, but
yeah.
I grew up with a brother 5 years older and a sister 10 years older.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine what I grew up. It was Dip. And
what did they,
then
what did
a
they
four
say?
Letter word after that. I kind of thought that was my middle name for a while, but.
Well, I'm glad you found out that it wasn't.
I am too before I went to first grade, but anyway, like I said, I got a thick skin.
Yeah.
So.
You develop it, I guess, if your brother and sister tell you that. My goodness.
They still do.
Well, let's talk about historic preservation because Sparta and Hancock County have got some good things going on. We're talking with the chair of the county commission, Sissy Hudson, and talking about kind of the rich history and all the things that are here. But specific to the preservation, you guys have made some recent efforts. So tell us about that. You have a historic preservation commission now. Have you had it for a long time or is that a recent development?
Well, actually, the last administration, the preservation ordinance was passed in 99 and 2000.
Okay.
But the people in charge, they didn't really want it, so they didn't appoint people
right.
as they rotated off the commission.
You can pass anything you want, but if you don't enforce it and then follow
exactly.
through with it, nothing happens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so when we moved here about 9.5 years ago, after we basically finished restoring our house, I was told that there was a revolving loan fund that was only for the commercial areas downtown. And so I went to City Hall, asked the city clerk at the time about it. What could I get an application? Because I was interested in purchasing a building. I was informed that there was no application. You just met with the mayor and he decided. And I'm going, wait, there's
Welcome
has to
a
be a paper
town.
Trail somewhere. We now have a wonderful city council and county commission. And they both readopted the ordinance, preservation ordinance again, back in 2019, and then it took us about a year to get up and running. Mm-hmm. And we've been meeting monthly for about a year and a quarter now.
Okay.
And we have a historic district that has 171 historic properties that are contributing historic properties in the district.
And describe for someone, because I'm familiar with that. We recently started a Historic Preservation Commission in Osceola. But when you say contributing properties, talk about like how old they are and why they're considered contributing properties.
In a district, it's just like with the National Register. A property has to be 50 years old or older mm-hmm. to be considered historic. And you actually cover the whole area so that in the future, when something's built, it won't be a glaring...
It's supposed to fit in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It won't be a Butler building next to your home or whatever. And Sparta has wonderful architecture from 1790s on to the 1940s.
I was going to ask, because 50, there's some significance there, but I'm sure some of them go way far back.
Yeah.
So you're talking about 1790s. That's,
yeah.
that's a little bit more than 50 years old.
And the house that we restored was built in 1834.
Wow.
And it's a typical Greek revival. Sparta was the wealthiest county in the mid-1800s. And that's when we really had some wonderful architecture. We've got Greek Revival, Federal, Gothic Revival, all kind of Victorian.
Right, just a variety.
Yeah,
of great variety.
Actually, for a town its size, it has a better variety than most places.
Wow.
So anyway, we've been meeting for a year. We haven't denied any certificate of appropriateness that have come before us. We've
right.
made...
And describe that, because I know what that is too, but certificate of appropriateness is what... So anybody in that district, correct me if I'm wrong, if
they
want to do any kind of improvement to the exterior of their building...
Yeah, if they want to make any material changes that aren't considered routine maintenance, they have to fill out a certificate of appropriateness, and we have to advertise it in the newspaper, and so we charge $60. That's what the newspaper ad costs.
Right.
We don't make any money off of it.
Right, it's just a pastor.
And so we run the ad, and we meet on the second Thursday of every month, and they come and present what they want to do. And like I said, we passed or approved everyone that's come before us. We've made minor changes to some of them, and they understand. One wanted to put window units on a building on Broad Street and having them hang over the sidewalk. Instead, we
right.
said, put it on the side, and he did that. And so
no problem.
It was no problem. We only have 4 property owners that have been difficult,
mm-hmm.
and that's pretty good.
Out of 170-something yeah. potential properties, yeah.
Yeah, and so they're still causing problems. But like I said earlier, I have a thick skin, so...
So you said you have completely rehabilitated one residential property in town,
correct.
But you've also mentioned you've got residences and you've also got commercial properties. So are there some other activities as far as people now, because of these efforts, starting to at least inquire, maybe buy properties or rehabilitate their own properties?
Yeah, actually, the residential section, the houses that have come on the market in the last 3 or 4 months, they only stay on the market for about 2 weeks at the most.
Okay.
And the house I'm in, it sat vacant on the market for 2.5 years.
Wow.
Prior to us buying it 9 years ago.
I'm sure part of that's because of what the real estate market is doing nationwide.
Nationwide,
but
exactly.
I'm also confident that part of it is people are seeing the efforts made, then they know, you know, the home values are, if people are going to be doing restorations, that's
exactly.
a really positive thing for Sparta.
And I think a lot of people realize that they can work from home now.
Right.
You know, after
right.
this past
yeah.
year.
Small towns are getting a second look now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the people here are wonderful. We were welcomed with open arms.
Where did you come from before this?
I grew up in Columbia County in Evans, Georgia. And then my partner, Mark, he grew up in Washington, Georgia.
Okay. What drew you to Sparta?
Well, actually, I'm related to the builder of the house.
Okay. So you have some family history here.
Yeah. And so does Mark. And so, like I said, we had a great house over in McCormick, South Carolina, and also another one in Abbeville, South Carolina. But we decided it was time to move, and a lady from Palm Beach rode by our house in Bordeaux, which a dead town. Our house was the only one left. And anyway, she was a big horse enthusiast, and she wanted our house. And she made an offer and we couldn't turn it down. So, like I said, the people here are wonderful. And then I got kind of off track, but the commercial properties downtown were in deplorable condition. People just were not maintaining them whatsoever. There were maybe three property owners downtown that maintained their buildings on Broad Street or Spring Street. And it turns out that now, with the preservation ordinance and some strongly worded letters going out to people, that they couldn't allow demolition by neglect, which is what was happening. We've got 10 properties that are currently in various stages of restoration. That's either putting new roofs on, or gutting the building, putting the whole front new facade on, or doing interior work in order to rent them. And we've got a list of people that want to rent commercial property.
Well, that's great. That's great. I guess what's the next project or the next initiative by the Preservation Commission or any other locals?
We would like to enlarge the district. We only used the National Register nomination as our district, and it was done in 1974. And we could expand to the whole city limits, and the whole city could be considered historic. Like I said, 50 years of ranch houses are historic
right now.
So,
it's kind of a low bar.
It's hard for me to accept that, but that's true.
Right.
But Sparta's a great place, and the houses are wonderful. The commercial property is wonderful. We welcome anybody here, and you can become as active in the community as you want. If you don't want to be bothered with anybody, we'll leave you alone. If you want to become involved,
there's
we welcome you.
Yeah. That's great. Well, Dip, it sounds like you've made this your home, and thanks for joining us and talking to us about all the historic preservation activity going on.
Well, thank you.
Irwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital production and marketing for small businesses that help small towns survive and thrive. In today's global and very digital world, your digital presence is just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Irwinomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media management, email lists and newsletters, digital content creation, including audio and video production, and making sure that all of these things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and county lines, so you can focus on keeping your small town community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Irwinomics can help guide you in growing your business, go to Irwinomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Irwinomics, helping small town business thrive.
All right, well, I want to talk more about Sparta. Well, first I should ask this, what's roughly the population of Sparta?
Hancock County is about 8,500. I don't think Sparta is about 1,200, maybe, of that 8,500.
See, if you were the mayor still, you'd know the exact number, but now you're the county commissioner, so you go with the county number.
I think it was about 1,700 when I was mayor, and it has lost about 500.
There are a lot of rural counties that are, and that's one of the challenges, is we got a population decline, so... What is something you'd want to make sure someone knew about Sparta? Because you obviously love it. You probably could have very easily continued your career in the State House or even gone beyond that. Mm-hmm. And you made a conscious decision to come back and be involved in local government. And so obviously there's a love for community there.
It is.
So share that with us and tell us what you want people to know about Sparta.
The history of Hancock County is like none other. Matter of fact, one of those earlier surveys that were done for the houses here, I think in 2001, they said we had more antebellum structures in Hancock County than anywhere else.
Wow.
We had over 600. Of course, a lot of those are gone now, you know, but our history is like none other. It's what makes Sparta, Sparta. Now, a lot of politicians, so to speak, I have a story about that too.
You got lots of
stories. I have never liked being called a politician. Ever.
It does have a negative connotation in today's
society.
I have
never liked being called. And it was long the time that I was elected city council, I was walking down Broad Street and somebody behind me said, "There's that politician." Honey, I turned right around and I said, "Oh, no, I'm not." I said, "I'm a public servant and you remember that." And I have said that my entire career.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yep.
as a big difference, you know.
There are politicians out there.
There are politicians out there, but I'm not one of them. You know, I've never used this position for a springboard to something else. I just wanted to represent the people, and that's what I do now.
Well, and I think it's fair to say that the majority, not 100%, mm-hmm. but the majority of local government mm-hmm. officials in mm-hmm. cities and counties, that is the motivation. Mm-hmm. It is, I want something to be better, whether it's something a little on the personal level, like a planning and zoning issue.
Right.
You know, you took issue with that. And now that I've had so many of these conversations on for the podcast, the reason someone got involved mm-hmm. wasn't political ambition. It mm-hmm. may have been something a little closer to home, like an issue very important to them. And then once they got elected to take care of the issue, mm-hmm. they stayed because they said, oh my gosh, there's so many opportunities. We can apply for grants. We can get involved in this state agency and organization. Well, there's so many things we can do to improve our community.
What's kind of interesting about running for the third term of chairman, though.
Yeah.
Because I had thought, well, no, I'll just do two terms.
Right.
Go home. I'll be 70. Go home. Guess who said no?
I'm going to guess your husband.
That's right. The husband said,
you got to keep going.
You will be qualified. And I said, what?
What a turn.
I wanted to come home with you. And he said, nope. I hadn't heard you talk about any kind of transition plan. You got to run again. I said, okay. So I'll get out of here when I'm 74 then. Then the other day he even said that too. He said, I'm not sure you're going to be ready in 2024. And I said, we will see. I'm doing my best now trying to come up with a transition.
Well, with that, are there some specific, I guess, initiatives? And kind of really tying it back to my question about what is it you would want people to know and appreciate about Sparta and you know, Hancock County in general. But combine that with what do you want to see happen? What do you want to see accomplished?
I think we have some golden opportunities that are not being addressed, you know. And, of course, I've known this all along, keeping that history thing in mind, you know. We actually had the University of Georgia do a business potential analysis one time. And they take all of these codes of all these different professions, you know, and they rank what you will do best and what you will do worst in. Top of the list was historic tourism.
Mm.
We're just missing it on that, you know, and I'd like to see something done with
well,
that.
Well, you've got the start of some efforts now.
Yeah, I'd like to see something done with that.
The momentum has been building, or
yes.
is being built, you know.
We just need to, we did have a museum, we need to reestablish the museum, we need to have a draw, you know, for people, and you wouldn't believe the folks I'm helping right now trace their ancestors.
Mm.
I have a girl I'm helping from Omaha, Nebraska.
Wow.
It's amazing. I mean, heck, her great-granddaddy was Jacob Nagura, a Jewish store owner next to Montour Mill.
Okay.
And they just tore down his little store last year, and I'm so upset about that. But anyway, she actually wants to come here in the fall, and I have found some interesting paperwork for her. I had folks last week come from Texas. We have history like no other history.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
You could imagine 12,000 people and all those people have migrated somewhere.
Sure.
You know? A couple of cute stories. I've never been anywhere that I've not seen somebody from Hancock County. I have never been anywhere. I don't care if it was D.C.
Well, I was going to say, now, how far away have you been?
New York. I mean, I don't care where it was. I have seen people from Hancock County.
It sounds like there's been some specific instances where you wouldn't have expected to run into somebody.
The one in New York's really cute. I actually was traveling to New York to a Zell Miller fundraiser in New York. And what that was, you paid a certain amount of money to go to a couple of shows on Broadway, eat, and then go home.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, I got there kind of late that night. You know, everybody else was already there, and the taxi driver picked me up at the airport and was taking me to the hotel. And I told him where I needed to go with my great Southern accent, you know.
You don't sound like you're from New York.
And when I told him where I needed to go, he turned around, looked at me, and he said, you're from Hancock County, aren't you? I said, you have got to be kidding me. No, ma'am, it's quite clear where you came from. That's where I'm from, too.
Your taxi driver was from Hancock County. Now, that's pretty good. He was able to pick up enough of the accent to just say, there's 159 counties in Georgia.
Yeah.
And he picked up on the one he was from by the accent.
I have had some amazing experiences in my public service career. I really have. I've loved them all.
Yeah.
And don't tell me to choose which one I like best, because I'm not going to do that. I liked them all. I love my city work, and I love what I'm doing now. I loved everything in between, but public service is public service.
What would you say to somebody? Actually, I'll ask you two different categories of people, give some advice, because you have this wealth of experience. So this will be maybe partly for me. What would you say to somebody that's actually thinking about going into public service, either at the local or the state level? And maybe even, what would you say to somebody that wouldn't think about it at all, and maybe they should? What's the right motivation to have? And then also why people should be more engaged, because there's certainly a lessening of engagement.
I'll be happy to tell them that. Now, usually you can kind of see, you know, when somebody would be good, be a good public servant, and I encourage them to run. I do. But I'll be glad to tell them if I think they're not good.
Not for everybody, huh?
Not for everybody. You've got to keep the public service aspect in mind. You've got to always be focused on what you can do to help the people, you know. Don't use it for a springboard. Don't do it for the salary. It's not any good anyway, you know.
You're not doing it for the right reason.
I mean, in the general
all,
assembly, $17,000 a year, right. You know. Yeah. When I tell people that's what we made, I said, why did you stay 16
years?
Yeah,
I don't think people realize the
but you know, I
salary.
Had,
not that much.
My district was six counties.
Uh-huh.
My home was exactly the middle of the six counties.
Okay, you were not on the
so
edge.
So I could go 35 miles in any direction and see my folks. And they invited me to everything.
Mm-hmm.
What I had to do was, whoever called first is the way I went.
First come, first serve.
And I spent a lot of time in my district, a lot of time.
Yeah.
And they miss it, too.
That's the way it's supposed to work,
I know.
Isn't it?
They miss it, too.
Yeah.
I was down in my district last night, and they said, we sure do miss you.
Well, Madam Chair, as we wrap things up, I want to give you the same opportunity I give all my guests, and let you speak directly to the Small Town Podcast audience and just tell them why they should come pay a visit, or maybe they should come move to Sparta, Georgia.
Sparta's a very special place. Hancock County's a very special place. And it has been my special place since I was two. The people, the history, everything is just amazing here. Of course, all the folks that helped raise me are deceased now, but we just had a really close community, and we still have a close community. I mean, I have a 68-year experience here. You just need to come visit.
All right. Chairwoman Sissy Hudson, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you, and I will be listening.
Make sure I get it all right. Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Chairwoman Sissy Hudson for talking with me. I also want to thank the Sparta-Hancock County Development Authority for supporting this episode. As always, I want to thank our season sponsors for Season 4 of Small Town Podcast, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, and the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. Thank you all for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.